Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
To the last day of Easter Faith Conference 2019. How many of us have had a good time, a touch from the Lord during the conference? Can I see your hands? Wave to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. The incredible God. I take this session, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I conclude the message that I started yesterday, or rather the thought that I've taken from Friday all through yesterday's session, and I just capped it up today. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us. That's verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, verse 14 please, of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can we read again? Christ has redeemed us. Not that he's going to redeem us. It's not futuristic. It has been done. It cannot be undone. He said, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, it is substitutionary. You don't have the curse on your life. What you have on your life now is the blessing. He said, for you to understand it, it's put in a bracket. For it is written. That which is written. So for you to know that it cannot be unwritten, he said, it's put in inverted comma. Cursed is everyone who hangs. Because it's been made cursed for us. Verse 14 is automatically activated. He said that the blessing, before he was redeemed, the curse stood on the way. After he was redeemed, one translation of the Bible says he dissolved completely all curses. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Today, as we celebrate Easter, we cannot afford to be ignorant. That's what we said from Friday. A lot of the times, because believers don't study, believers don't know the power inherent in the truth, they are still bound to the devil by way of deception. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan take advantage of us. So when we don't know the truth, when we don't know the things that Christ has apprehended for us, there is that tendency to be taken advantage of by the devil. But we bless God this morning that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I've also said that what are we redeemed from? I mean, that's a question. The curse of the law. Christ has or hath redeemed us. It is a past, legal, authenticated divine action that cannot be revised. It's not subject to the culture of any nation. It's not subject to the belief of a particular mindset about a particular set of people. We said, I don't know, one of the speakers yesterday, you know, in Africa, because we believe so much in deities, there is just that tendency to feel that the witches in Nigeria are more powerful than the ones in America. So we need, like our people we say, we need special ways, special prayers, special deeds to be able to deal with the devils that are around here. No, if we are thinking that way, if we are not aligning ourselves to the thought of God, it means that we are contesting that which has been written. Christ has redeemed us. Please say with me this morning, I am redeemed. I am redeemed of the law from the curse of the law. And we asked the question, I think it was yesterday, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law, the law has to do with God's commandment, his statute. He said, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and you take heed to his commandment, he said, I will put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you. That's Exodus 15, 26. So the curse of the law, when we refer to the law, most of the time, our minds go to the Ten Commandments. But when you look at the Ten Commandments, you can't find any curse there. The first five is love towards God, and the last five is love towards our fellow brethren. And so the law, as it's referred generally, is also the first five books of the Bible. We call it the Pentateuch, which means the one that Moses delivered. And even in all that, the one that can give us a good description of what the curse of the Lord is Deuteronomy chapter 28. And by God's grace, we will just look at some of it. So to be redeemed has a wider application. It means it's beyond ransom. You know, when people are kidnapped, they pay ransom. But it's beyond that. It's beyond that. Someone in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by his own blood. His life, it cost him his physical life to redeem us. Leviticus chapter 16, 11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So that's the height of redemption. We learned yesterday, the last session of the 7x7, he is our kinsman redeemer. He is someone that we identify with. He bears our body. He bears our sin. Or he bore it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. It pleased God, like the Bible says in Isaiah 52, to bruise him so that our iniquities can be taken away. So it was made a curse for us by substitution. There's a Yoruba song that sings this way, just dropped in my heart, and I'm going to sing it, but let me translate it for non-Yoruba. He said, the gruesome death that would have died, he died. Iku oroti mbaku. Then the consequences of my sin, he has taken. For those who can, I can't remember the lyrics, but it just dropped in my heart now. It's a gruesome death. Burden of sin. We would have been lost forever. But he redeemed us. Today we can have fellowship with God. Today we are delivered. So we also ask the question, what is the curse of the law? The Bible described it into three places. In Deuteronomy 28, number one, spiritual death, being alienated from the life of God. And in spiritual death is where sin resides. And the sins, but it became sin for all, so that it can take care of the sins. Second cause of the law is poverty, lack, inadequacies. We will get into it later on in the next few minutes that I have. And then the third one is sickness.
Christ is our healer. Christ is the one who restores, who keeps us healthy in health. A lot of the times, people wait on the sickness happen. You can live in health. And if your body system breaks down, you can live. You can have healing. Even the Old Testament, people had access. He said, I am the Lord God, your personal physician. And Hebrews says we have a better covenant with a better promises. It also means that you can be healed today. You can live in health today. These are things that Christ has paid the price for us. So he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So the curse or consequences of breaking God's law are threefold. Spiritual death. The first curse or curse that came upon mankind for breaking the law was spiritual death. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, the word of the Lord says, he said, in the day that you shall eat, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. So spiritual death set in. Man didn't die physically that day. You need to understand that there are three kinds of deaths that the Bible referred to. Number one, kinds of death, spiritual death. And that's what happened here. Adam and Eve didn't die that day. They didn't die. Secondly, the physical death, which is the cessation of life. There comes a time that's an appointment every one of us have. He said it is appointed unto man to die once. So we have the spiritual death, being alienated from the life of God, separation from God. And so people can be living, yet they are not living. Someone who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even though the person is living physically, but spiritually they are dead. And the third kind of death is eternal death. So somebody is living physically, he doesn't know Jesus, he is dwelling on spiritual death. And someone live that way and dies, physical death certain. And then a day will come where there is the second death, eternal death. The last enemy of God and man to be put. Death is still a mystery. It is death. So 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So you must have that understanding. We have spiritual death, we have physical death, we have eternal death. Physical death is an enemy of God and man. That's why we this life physically it ceases. The body returns back to the dust. But Christ has redeemed us. We have overcome spiritual death. And even when it's at the point of anyone to exit here, you have also overcome physical death because believers don't die. In the book of Thessalonians, it says, brethren who had fallen asleep. So we don't die. It's a transition because man is an eternal spirit. Man is designed to live forever. It's either with God or it's a life of separation from God. Life with God, physically, when you are still here, is called eternal life. It means an unending life. It means life that will help you to live victoriously while you are here. And when you transit, you will be in your eternal home with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about that. So we must be aware we are redeemed from spiritual death. We are redeemed. We are not supposed to be afraid of death. We have been passed. John 5:26. We have passed from death into life. That's, in other words, we are no more in darkness. We are no more separated from God. As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted us life in himself. We have the Zoe, the life of God. In verse 24 of that same chapter, can we read? It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has what? Everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed. So we are no more, if you have accepted Jesus, you are no more under the bondage of spiritual death. If you have accepted Jesus, when you die physically, that there is cessation of this physical life, God, Jesus, who was our first fruit from the dead, has given us victory. And when everything will wrap up, this phase will wrap up, pop before the new heaven and the heart, you will live with God forever. Amen? I say amen. These are Bible studies. By God's grace, we will come into it. But I just want to bring out those three things. We are delivered from spiritual death. We are delivered from sickness. We are delivered from poverty. That's how you can understand Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation 2:7 said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God." So we have eternal life. We have overcome the second death. We are not under judgment. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So we are redeemed. Man generally is lost today, not because of what he does, but what he is. If someone has not accepted Jesus, the person is spiritually dead. His spirit man is separated from God in that real sense. The spirit man is separated from the life of God. He cannot access. He doesn't know what is right or what is wrong in that real sense. Even when he wants to try to do it, it is self-righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 2, how do we know we are redeemed? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 9 is 2, 1. It said, "And you he made alive, who are dead in trespasses and sin." So, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we are made alive. We are no more who we used to be. Paul emphasized this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new." And how did this work happen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So we are redeemed, not by works. We are redeemed by the grace of our God. The second area that we are redeemed from poverty. Deuteronomy 28. We are redeemed from poverty. We are redeemed. If we are ignorant of it, the devil will use it against us. We use that fact. A lot of people have wrongly defined what humility is all about. Poverty is a vice. It's not a virtue. If Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, he said in 3 John 2, he wished above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 17, all of us in this room, if we have received Jesus, if not, I would make a call. He said, but he says in verse 15, "It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord," that is the entrance, "to observe carefully his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And he says, "Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." In other words, if someone does not have the life of God, even though he's gathering, sometimes something can just wipe it off. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord makes rich. It's not that God is the one who brought that. In fact, the Bible translators, when he says it's as if he's God, it's in the permissive sense. In other words, it is not conservative, it's not causative in that sense. If I have an umbrella and it is raining outside now. If it's raining outside, if we are all seated here, there's no way we can get wet because we are covered by this grace. So when a man is in Christ Jesus, the works of his hand is covered by the grace of God. The blessings of God rest upon his life. The blessing, that's what he says. The covering, not the blessings. Proverbs 10:22, it rests upon that man's life. And whatsoever, that's the secret of the blessed man, whatsoever, he said, he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his fruit in his due season. His leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. So when someone is out of that covering, if I run outside now and it's raining, I will get drenched up because I am under the covering. So in God says to his own people, he said, when you diligently obey, the first 14 verses already tells us, he said, when we obey the voice of the Lord our God, promotion comes, favor comes. He works with us in the field, in the marketplace. He said, the works of our hands are blessed. The fruit of our bodies are blessed. He's with us in and out of the city, of the country, of the town. And wherever you will turn to, it will give rain to our land. The first 14 verses highlighted all those things. So the desire of God is that we are redeemed from poverty. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So we need to understand that we are not only redeemed from spiritual debt, we are redeemed from poverty. If you read verses 38 to 40 of that same verse, 38 to 40. It says, you shall carry much seed to the field, but gather little in, for the locusts shall consume it. He said, you shall plant vineyards and tend them, and you shall... So, these people, they are actually... If somebody is living under a curse, we defined what a curse is yesterday. It's the supernatural force that limits. Blessing means spiritual power, spiritual force that empowers. So if someone is not in covenant with God, the law of the spirit of sin and death is at work in that person. If you are in covenant with God, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that's what propels you for living. So, curses, all these things that you saw there, they are poverty. Somebody is struggling, is making effort, but because without the effort of God, that's why he says it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and add no sorrow. Someone is making all effort, but yet there is no result. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So it is not a mark of godliness to live in poverty. God doesn't subscribe to it. God doesn't have anything to do with it. But when we make the kingdom our priority, hey, it doesn't, it hurts. That's what the Bible says. Can we quickly read this? Let me call your attention to it. Matthew 6:33. Talking about us in the New Testament, that what we need to seek. Yes, that's it. It said, but seek first. It didn't say seek after. Seek first. Make the kingdom of God your priority. And then his righteousness, your right standing, your pursuit of God in terms of keeping that life that you share with God open. The Zoe, you must allow it to work. It depends on you. God has given us life, but it depends on you to take it and maximize it. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be taken from you. I want to know whether you are following me. Yeah, that's the way it is. God wants to add to our lives. You know, you have believers say things like, even before I became a Christian, things are better than this. No, no, no. Just re-examine it. If you truly have received Jesus, it's supposed to be from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, because Christ has redeemed you. If things are not working, all you just have to do, like they do even in the natural world, you sit, and Jesus had provision for it, you sit and count the cost. Look at what you are doing. If you need to review, if you need to re-strategize. And because you also have the mind of Christ, he will give you solution for wherever you are. So Christ has redeemed us from poverty. Poverty is not a sign of spirituality. It's not a sign. God doesn't give us humility that way.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center,
The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,